I always like a good deal, a bargain of some kind, and I usually can find those just about any place, it seems like. But one of the places when I go shopping that I go to first is to the clearance aisle. And see, there's got to be something there that I can use. Okay, I'm a big Walmart person, so I'll head to the clearance aisle in Walmart. And before we had any grandchildren, we had an old dresser upstairs in the attic, and I had that full of things that I had gotten almost all from the Walmart clearance aisle for our grandchildren. Okay, I had softballs, I had soccer shin guards, I had clothes, for boys and girls, baby's first Christmas, and all kinds of toys, you name it, because it was a good deal. And so, I had to check it out, and I had to make sure that I was going to be ready, because I knew someday we were going to have grandchildren, and now number eight is due any day. So when I get the flyers in the Sunday paper, or the midweek, that paper that you get just about everywhere you live that has the flyers from the grocery stores and all, and the first place I look on those is see if anybody has anything, buy one, get one free, because hey, we can use that. And that gets me excited. We get the Sunday paper for one reason only, and that is for the coupons. Okay, we don't really look at much of anything else except the comics. But I always try to get a good deal on stuff. I remember back when summer, all of our kids were still living at home, and one of our sons came in and said, "Well, must be somebody had a sale on toilet paper." And he was right. I'd gone to whatever the grocery store was, and I don't know, it was buy one, get one free, or I had coupons, or whatever it was. Anyways, I'd bought what seemed to him an excessive amount of toilet paper. But it doesn't spoil. I mean, you get stuff like that when it's on sale and you're going to use it. But now some people would refer to me, and do refer to me, as cheap. I like to think of it as being resourceful, or being a good steward. And so that's where I guess we kind of differ in the looks of myself. But let's get started with a prayer. Father, we just give you thanks for the ways that you provide for us. And Lord, you meet our needs just like you tell us you're going to. And so, Father, help us to be good stewards of what you've given us. That Lord, that paycheck or retirement check or whatever it might be, that Lord, we stretch it as far as we can. And we need to remember that sometimes it may seem like, we've got a little extra today, but maybe next week or next year, we'll wish that we hadn't spent that little extra. And so, Father, help us to always be good stewards of what you've given us. But Father, I just ask it as we look into your word, to see how to be good stewards of our lives, not necessarily our finances, but to be good stewards of our lives. And Lord, to realize that we need to give all of ourselves to you, that we can't just give ourselves all to you for Sunday morning for an hour and think that that's what we had to do. But Lord, help us to remember that we need to give you all of us all the time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'll tell you, this is not a message on tithing or stewardship. And you should know that because there's only four Tuesdays in the month. Okay, if there was five Tuesdays, maybe I would have turned this into a stewardship message. But it's a message on percent, but 99%, and not the other 98 that people were protesting about. People were saying that the 2% of the people in America have all the money and all this, and the other 98% don't get heard from. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about a 99% that maybe we should call those that 99% faithful. So let's start with the words from a song. And this is a song that, you know, I first heard it. And I believe in our church and worship team did it. And it seems like I've just been hearing it all the time, you know, since then. And the Lord kept pointing out this one line to me and what that really meant. So let's see what this song has to say. It says, Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Well, that's the 99% that I'm talking about. So let's take a look at the passage that that's kind of based on. And this is in Matthew chapter 18, verses 12 through 14. And this is from the New International Version. And Jesus is giving us this parable. He said, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for that one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. Okay? Jesus had been talking prior to this about letting the children come to him. Okay? He wanted to bless the children. And so this is where this came from. But he knew that these children need to be ministered to as well. And people were trying to not allow that to happen. But I want us to look at the 99. Okay? So I guess this is a message about faithfulness. Okay, the shepherd here would have to be very confident in his sheep because he risked 99 to go to look for one. And so he had to know that those 99 could be trusted because going out and looking for that one, he could come back with that one and maybe there'd only be 98 there or 68 or 22 or whatever it may be. But no, he had faith in those that he had left behind. So how does this relate to you and I? Number one, we need to understand that the shepherd that's being talked about in the passage is God, and the 100 is just a number. You know, Jesus was saying, you know, the shepherd owned 87 sheep. And, you know, he could have said that, but he said 100, nice even number. Okay, so that's you and I. And as a pastor, I could say this speaks to me as a shepherd. If one of my congregation falls away, I need to go to them. Okay, and so that's true. But would I be as confident in the 99 that I left behind as the Matthew 18 shepherd would be? Okay, in other words, would I be able to leave and say, I know, hey, they're all going to be there. You know, no doubt about it. But I know how people can be. I know how church people sometimes think and act. Okay, let's give this sheep the name Beulah. Okay, so the people might look at me going off looking for Beulah, and they'd say, well, obviously the pastor, he cares more about Beulah than the rest of us. He's leaving us here all by ourselves, and he's going out looking for Beulah. You know, what's up with that? And some might say, well, yeah, Beulah, I'm not surprised. She's been wandering for years. And someone else might say, Beulah, man, she isn't even a member of our church. You know, why is he so concerned about her? You know, she's not even an official member of the body. And, you know, what are we supposed to do while the pastor's out chasing Beulah? Well, what should be said and what should be thought is, I wonder how we can help you along. You know, I've been afraid that this is going to happen. You know, what can we do? And others might be saying, well, you know, we need to be keeping the pastor in prayer in Beulah. You know, and I think I should have seen this coming with Beulah, and maybe I could have stopped it. And what can we do to make sure that when Beulah gets back, that she's going to be faithful and she's not going to wander off again? That's how it should have been, and that's what God expects from his flock. Now, the same story in Luke 15, and it says this in verse 5. It says, and when he finds it, when he finds that lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Well, he may have done that, or maybe would do that for two reasons. One, Beulah is probably tired from wandering in the wrong direction, and she may have just wandered off, not paying attention. You know, there's some grass over there that looks kind of good, and oh, there's some grass over there that looks good. And then she starts to look around, and she doesn't see any of the other 99. And so she starts wandering around. So she may be tired, and so, you know, the shepherd would grab a hold of Beulah and put her on his shoulders and to make her feel more secure and to be able to be rested. And the other point is, you know, maybe the shepherd wanted to make sure that Beulah didn't take off again. And the shepherd wants to be sure that Beulah gets back to where she belongs. You know, he's been out looking for her, finally found her, and he's going to make sure that she gets back to the rest of the flock. And Beulah needs to know that she's accepted and that she's still part of the flock and that she's not shunned. So listen to the words of James 5:16. This is from the New Living Translation. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. Okay, talking about healing, all right? But we need to pray for each other for other reasons as well. But listen to that same verse in the Message. It says, make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. The prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Now, if we all had this love for each other in that 100, okay, Beulah probably wouldn't have been making bad choices because, you know, if they were really there solid with Beulah, they'd say, hey, come on, Beulah, you know, don't go that way. Stay over here with us. Instead, some of them might kind of see Beulah wandering off and say, huh, man, where's she going now? But the Greek here for healed is eaomea, which means to heal or make whole. And we don't have to think of this as a physical healing, okay, because Beulah's problem maybe wasn't physical. Maybe it was more emotional or spiritual, because people wander away for many reasons. And sometimes it seems like they wander off for no reason, just because. And what the 99 need to know, that why Beulah left really doesn't matter. We just need to know what we can do to make sure that she doesn't leave again. And a big thing the flock needs to know is that healing needs to come. And it's not always the pastor's job. Having always served in small churches, it was like, that's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. That's the pastor's job. Well, that's what so many people believed. So if you are or were part of the 99, where would you be when the shepherd came back with Beulah? Would you be anxiously waiting for their return and say, oh, man, here's pastor, you know, here's the shepherd's back, and there's Beulah. Oh, man, she looks whipped. Oh, you know, let's find her a spot where there's some really good grass. Or would you be over in the corner saying, there they are. Yeah, the shepherd and old Beulah. Boy, oh, boy, I don't know. We got to put up with her again. Well, let's put Beulah aside for right now. And I want us to take a closer look at the 99, at the faithful. When I started looking for scripture about being faithful, I knew that I would find a bunch in Hebrews. But I was surprised at how many I found in Revelation. So let's start off with what the Bible calls faithful. Okay, in the Hebrew, the word is amen, not amen, you know, like, oh, amen. No, it's amen, which means to build up, support, assurance, steadfast, trust, faith. And in the Greek, it's pistos, which means basically the same, confidence or to obey. Okay, is what faithful means. And scripture tells us over and over that God is faithful. And I don't think anybody that calls himself a Christian doubts God's faithfulness. And that's not what we're calling into question here. We're calling in the question, the faith of the 99, you and me. And I love what Paul wrote to Timothy in this second letter in chapter 13. This is from the the New Century Version, 2 Timothy 2, 2:13. It says, if we're not faithful, he will be faithful, because he must be true to who he is. God's faithfulness does not depend on our faithfulness. Praise God for that. You know, if God said to me, I'll be as faithful as you are, one of two things. Either I'd have to get used to a part-time faithful God, or I would work on my faithfulness big time. Okay, because God is faithful all the time, and I am faithful sometime. Okay, let's be honest. We're all faithful sometime. I don't know anybody. I've known some great, strong Christian people, and I'm sure there's times that their faithfulness hadn't been what it should be. And I like what the writer of Lamentations tells us in 3:22-24, and this is a New Living Translation. Does the faithful love of God never ends? His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in him. If I were to ask for a one-word definition of the word faithful, many of you would answer God. Okay, the dictionary defines faithful like this: firmly and devotedly supportive, loyal, worthy of trust or belief, reliable, consistent with truth or fact, steadfast adherence. Sound like God? Yeah. Okay, I try to be faithful, and I am in most things, most of the time, I think so. I've been faithful to my wife for 40 years. Okay, there has not been a time that I've been unfaithful to my wife. And I've tried to be faithful to my children. Okay, 4 kids, they were involved in a lot of sports, a lot of school activities, you know, choir, band, all this sort of stuff, and, you know, a lot of things going on a lot of times. And I tried my best to be able to be faithful, to be there for them, to support them in whatever they were doing. But there were some times that I couldn't be. There were some times it just wasn't going to happen. And I tried to be faithful as a pastor. Okay, I tried to be faithful to the word, give the messages that the people needed to hear, or I felt that people needed to hear. And so I've tried to be faithful as a pastor. And I continually try to be faithful to the Lord in this ministry that he's given me. Because we know that faithful is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So it's something that continues to grow. And it's something that we need to keep working on, is our faithfulness because it's something that builds and strengthens over time like a muscle. You know, you don't use it, you'll lose it. So, like I said, I knew there was going to be a bunch in Hebrews. So let's look at Hebrews 11. Now, this gives us a list of some of our faithful ancestors. Okay? And I'm not going to go into detail on any of them. All right? But it says, by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham left for an unknown place that he would inherit. By faith, Abraham became a father as an old man. By faith, Abraham offered that son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the Jews passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab was not killed. And the list goes on and on and on. And if we want to look at those in the New Testament, okay, Stephen was stoned to death for what? His faith, being faithful to God. He could have denounced God, could have denounced his faith and said, no, you know, I don't believe. And would have lived. Didn't happen. By faith, Jesus' disciples, all except for John, were martyred. They were crucified. They were stoned. They were beheaded. They were beaten. They were whipped. All for preaching the gospel. And we can take a look at people during our own time. Okay, about 90,000, okay, 90,000 Christians are martyred annually. People that will not denounce their faith. Most of these are in the Middle East. A lot of them are in North Korea. That's the number one place. And, you know, in these places, I'm sure there's more being martyred than what we are aware of. Because, you know, a lot of those countries, we have no idea what's going on in there. And there's more people being martyred now than at any other time in history, all because they're faithful. Now, Jesus talks about being faithful in Luke 19 in the parable about the servants. Okay, in 19 verses 16 and 17, New Living Translation, it says, the first servant reported, Master, I have invested your money and made 10 times the original amount. Well done, the king exclaimed. You are a good servant. You have been faithful with the little that I have entrusted to you. So you will be governor over 10 cities as your reward. Faithfulness has rewards. Okay? Now, I'm not saying if you're going to be faithful to the Lord and, you know, bring in 10 times what anybody else does, 10 times what, I don't know. I'm not saying that, you know, the Lord's going to say, oh, wow, I'm going to give you that big house down the street, or I'm going to give you that Corvette that you wanted, or whatever. You know, that's not the kind of rewards that we're going to receive for our faithfulness. You know, I said the book of Revelation talked about being faithful as well. In several places, it talks about the faithful followers, the faithful and true believers. And, of course, it talks about Jesus being faithful even unto death. As believers, we have a responsibility to be faithful to God. You know, I mean, that's obvious. But we also have a responsibility to be faithful to the church with the capital C, church. Okay, I mean, we need to be faithful to wherever it is our church family is, wherever our storehouse is. But we need to be faithful to God's church. Let me close with a chorus of a Steve Green song. Now, some of you may be too young, you don't remember who Steve Green was, but he was a contemporary Christian singer. And the name of this song is Find Us Faithful. And the chorus goes like this. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe. and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. That's what we need to, or how we need to be living our lives as people that are faithful to the Lord, because those that do come behind us are going to look at us, you know, well, how did they do it? You know, how did my father do it? How did my grandfather do it? And they need to be able to look at us and say, they were faithful in the things that they did. You know, I can see that, because we're leaving a legacy. And as Christians, our legacy needs to be that of faithfulness, because that's the one thing that can be measured in our lives of being a Christian, is how we lived our lives, how we talked to others about Jesus, and the faithfulness that we had to the gospel message. In Jesus' name, amen.